This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no roots. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the words, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Amen. Lord, as we come to your word, we pray that you'll teach us a passage of scripture that's familiar to us. We pray that we might not be over familiar, but we might be encouraged in a work of mission, in our own witness, as we hear your word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're all familiar with the BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation. I can guarantee that every one of us has heard of the BBC, knows about the BBC, and knows what the BBC is. But have you ever thought about the words? They're words that we really don't use very often anymore. British Broadcasting Corporation. Corporation? That sounds really very old-fashioned. British. Lots of discussion as to what that might be. What about that word broadcasting? Some of you will have seen pictures of the old broadcaster years ago, sitting there very much in the man, of course, in the suit, with big microphone, tie, that's even a bow tie, there, very, very old-fashioned and quaint. Yeah, broadcasting, as we think of the word, is actually exactly what is being done. Broadcasting is getting the message out to as many as possible. And we see that in the parable of the sower that we read in our Bibles. And here in the parable of the sower, we have some lessons in mission, both in the mission of radio and Grace Baptist Mission, but also yours and mine. In our locality, whether it's Basildon or Abingdon. So as we turn there, first, I want us to see that we must broadcast God's word. We must broadcast God's word. What is broadcasting all about? Well, broadcasting originally was nothing whatsoever to do with the BBC or with radio or with anything like that, but with everything to do with farmers and fields. If you plant vegetables, you will be doing narrow casting. You're doing it one at a time. I've done some of this in my own garden. You'll take a packet of seeds, and you'll take a seed, and say on the back where you're supposed to plant it, what you're supposed to do with the soil, where the distance they are to be apart, and the rows are to be apart. You do it one at a time, neat rows, neatly marked, and then hopefully in time things will grow. But if you are trying to grow grass, it is definitely not narrow casting. That would be impossible because you buy a big box of grass seed. And there are thousands and thousands of seeds in a box. I've got some in my shed. I'm going to be involved in this this soon in a little part of our garden where we need some more grass. And I'm not going to take out one seed at a time and plant it and plant it, unless I've really got nothing else better to do. I will take a whole bundle out of my hand, a handful out of the box, and I will throw it. I will cast it. I will broadcast it. It will be scattered far and wide. And that's what the farmer's doing here in the parable of the sower. He is broadcasting. He's sowing his seed. He's not sowing his vegetables. He's sowing his grass seed or his wheat or his barley, which is then scattered. Verse 5 to 8 tells us that a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, it went all over the place. And Jesus says it went by the wayside or the path. Some of it fell on a big rocky area. Some fell amongst the thorns that came up. Others fell on good ground. He got that in the right place. It is scattered far and wide. Jesus tells us what this parable means most helpfully. The field is a picture of the world, and the farmer is a picture of the Christian. And the seed is the word of God, the gospel. And here we learn that Christians, not just missionaries, but Christians, are called to broadcast, to take the good news of Jesus to every person across the world. And this is a picture to show us what we are to do with the good news of Jesus, the gospel. We're not to keep it in a box, like my grass seed. It's to come out, as my grass seed is going to, and it's to be spread, broadcast. We tell all the world about Jesus. Good news that is to be shared across the world. We know this, but we are limited as individuals. We talk to one another this morning. We certainly feel that individualistic part of things. I see two there and one there. I see a family there, and I can't see these people on the phone. But there we are all. We are sort of together, but we're really we are individuals rather than when we meet as a church. And that limitation makes us think, well, what can we do? We can only be in one place at any one time. That's where radio is this fantastic tool that we've been focusing on this morning. For radio gets where we cannot. It is not limited by space and time. I was away on a holiday. I can't remember where it was, and I was tuning in my radio. And in my radio, still being one who listens to a radio, the old transistor radio, the old-fashioned, I know. And I'm listening to Radio 5, which I like for the sport. And strange, as I went down the tuning dial, I then tuned into Radio Scotland. And a little radio later, I tuned into another local radio station. And then I tuned into the World Service. And in that one little radio, I was able to hear across the world. Because radio crosses boundaries and borders. It reaches inaccessible places. GPM radio crosses the sea to Africa. It crosses borders to Burkina Faso and to Nigeria. It crosses war zones, the Central African Republic that I've mentioned, South Sudan, Somalia. It crosses tribal boundaries. The Fulani, the Lobi peoples in Burkina Faso, who are not naturally be those who would be there together. You'd need a missionary for each people. But the radio goes to both. Radio goes farther and wider than we can go. It is a fantastic tool for reaching people with God's words. And it's important to many in an African context. One of the things that I remember Andrew telling us about, perhaps you might have heard it at a GBM annual day. You know, if we were going to be leaving our home knowing it was going to be destroyed, what would we take with us? Probably we would grab a laptop or an iPad or some other techie thing that we have. Perhaps you've still got a pile of photos in a photo album. You want to take that as well. Andrew was telling the story of this man, Samson, who had to run for his life from northern Nigeria. And he grabbed two things. He grabbed his Bible, and he grabs his radio. That's the value of radio in Africa. And GPM Radio Ministry is doing what we see here, broadcasting God's word. Jesus says here, the farmer broadcasts, the Christian is to broadcast God's word. And through radio, people can hear about the good news of Jesus and can be taught more about God's word. That is broadcasting. Please give thanks for this work. Give thanks for the way that is being done. And let's take the challenge to ourselves. How are we broadcasting God's word? How are we sharing that? What opportunities do we have at the moment to share something of the love of God with others? That's going to depend on your neighborhood. It's going to depend on your family, on your friends, on all sorts of things. One of the things that we have found here, it might be true of you, I don't know, because I'm not with you and I don't know your situation, is that here in our neighborhood, neighbors are talking to each other much, much more. And little acts of kindness are really being appreciated. And my wife has a ministry of the cake, and she can do things that I can't with flour and eggs. I just go and buy it because she's self-isolating because being a particularly bad asthma. And so I have to go to the supermarket to buy these things. It's all a bit strange for me. Think you're trying to find flour, but that's a different matter. Anyway, Julia makes these and just gives them to the neighbors. It's leading to opportunities. Yesterday she went to see one of them and dropped this in. And at a distance, of course, the social distance, 2 meters apart, able to talk a little bit with one of them. Opportunities that might come our way. Broadcast God's word. Show Christ's love to others. Secondly, there's the challenge to broadcast God's word. Secondly, is that we must be ready for responses to God's word. Responses to God's word. This is one of the few parables which we're told exactly what it means, because Jesus explains it, verse 11 onwards. Well, he said this, three things that have a spiritual meaning. The seed, the word of God, the farmer, who's sowing the word, is the Christian, and the third, that is the field, which is the world. And there are four types of people who receive the seed. The different soils are the places where the seed falls, and we also see then, not just where it falls, but then the response in people. We will see these responses. Jesus points that out in the parable. There's the path, verses 5 and 12, that ran along the edge of the field. It was very, very hard, where people walked, and therefore nothing grew there. There was the rock, the stones thrown in the corner of the field to help the field grow so there's better soil, remove the rock. Very shallow soil where the rock is. And then the thorns, an area where the edge gets overgrown and the thorns are coming up. These are hard places for the seed. And the farmer knows, and Jesus tells us, that we must recognize it as well. And here's a question for us all. Are we ready for that response? Are we ready for the different types of response we will see? And we can actually summarize it into two responses. Let's do the difficult one first. We need to be ready for spiritual disappointments. Be ready for spiritual disappointments. And this gives us a reality on the responses that we've seen in our own work of evangelism in the local church and in the work of mission. So we have the path or the hard ground. Look at verse 12, and Jesus says, this is where the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts. And it's quite a difficult point to understand. But in very simple terms, it is this. There is a spiritual battle, and people, for all kinds of reasons, don't respond. And Jesus says that at some point it is because the devil comes along and snatches it away. But the big point is that we are disappointed. And then there's the rocky and stony ground. There is that rock. Verse 13, those on the rock are ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no roots. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing they fall away. Seed does not grow overnight. It's fairy tales that speaks of beanstalks appearing overnight and giants at the top. The Bible is not a fairy story. It is reality. We don't have anything here of prosperity that we're going to talk about later. It is reality. And in this reality, the parallel of the parable is clear. Any of you who's a gardener will be aware of this. You have to dig the stones out. Otherwise, the plants are not going to have the roots. And if they don't have the roots, when the sun comes out, it's dry as it has been the past month, that plant will die. It will not flourish. Same is true. Jesus is saying, there are those who receive the word with joy. You might even think of someone, and they've heard it, but they have no roots. Sarah, I never expected that that would happen now I'm a Christian. I don't think this is true. Perhaps you have heard someone say that. They have not found those roots in Christ. Disappointment. Then there's the thorny ground. Verse 7, and tells us the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Verse 14, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. They do not mature. The thorns thrive, but the seedlings don't. That's what Jesus says about these people. They do not mature. Immaturity in horticulture means a lack of fruitfulness, a lack of growth. Let me read to you something that I received this morning as I came into the office from Jason Murfitt. Jason and Andy Murfitt, if you remember, were in Brazil. They're now back in the UK, and they're planning to go to Madeira. We thought that was going to be this year, but we really don't have any idea about these things anymore. So whether that's going to be this year or next year, we will wait and see. But it's exciting that Jason has already been visiting Madeira. He's already been making contact there. Really, if we're going to put it in parable of the sower terms, he's been out there digging the soil, really getting ready for that work of church planting. And so I was absolutely fascinated, and I read this morning, knowing what I was preaching on, to read this. And in one sense, this is really very sad. And we really want to pray about what we hear. He says, lost but not forgotten. It hurts to love, as my mum has often said. In Christian ministry, in life in general, there are many disappointments, and often our hearts are pained. To know the Saviour and the way of salvation is glorious. To know that so many are lost, hell-bound and helpless, is agonizing. Amen. Yeah, we feel that. And then he speaks about this man, Philippe. Philippe, for whom some of you have prayed for nearly 2 years, with whom I've studied the Bible with many times, has completely cut off contact. From persistent doubt, to pursuing ungodly desires, literally says, this thorny world has him in a net lock. I'm not going to worry about his mixed metaphors there, but we understand exactly what he means. This thorny world has him in a net lock. Matthew 13, verse 7, Luke 8, verse 14. Pray that he would cry out for help to escape his slough of despond. Disappointing. We can feel Jason's heart in that. 2 years investment in this man, studying God's word, counseling him, guiding him, seeing response, and now gone. Well, praise God that we have a God who perseveres. And perhaps some of us might have a testimony to say, once we were there and then we went away and the Lord brought us back. May that be true of that man, Philippe. It's interesting when you look at what Jesus says here, verse 14, it says they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. Riches. Riches. We can be, by our own materialism, be caught by that. And GBM radio is something that they face as they are involved in work in Africa, where the prosperity gospel, which if you're not familiar with that, is that those teach incorrectly that material prosperity is what you really need and not spiritual blessing, and that if you become a Christian, then you'll become rich. And that is obviously very persuasive and something that makes us say, well, yes, I'd like that. But it's not what the Bible teaches. And reminded of the book that Ian wrote, The Gospel in African Soil, that you possibly have seen, that is so helpful in just talking about why the prosperity gospel is so working, is having such an effect in the African context. And what that means, and how the radio are preaching God's word to help Christians not to be taken away on that false teaching. So here's more disappointment. We've had three responses. We've had disappointment and disappointment and disappointment. Rock, the devil taking it away, the path, the rocky ground, whether it's the root, the thorns that come up and suffocate the person. Well, let's come to our last response, because that really encourages us. And it puts the other three out there and makes us say, thank you, Lord, because where we will have spiritual disappointment, and that is helpful, of course, to know that, because then when we have those sorts of disappointments, we say, yes, Jesus said that would happen. But he also says there will be spiritual fruitfulness. Good soil. Verse 8. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop. Verse 15. The seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a good crop. It's such a simple illustration, isn't it? It is this time of year, if you're a gardener, because I'm a gardener, so I'm talking a bit about this at the moment, and perhaps some of us have a bit more time to do a bit of gardening. I was doing some yesterday. You take the seeds out of the packet, you plant them in the soil, and up comes plants that are far bigger than the seeds that you grow. And the fruit that you get on the plant is much greater than that which you planted in the ground. It's a miracle when I look at it, and I think it's a wonder of creation. Wonder of creation. When I was a little boy, in my area where my parents were, there were lots and lots of conker trees, and like every little boy, I collected these conkers, and I had a marvelous collection every day from school, and I packed my pockets and came home with them, and eventually my mother said, you'll fill your wardrobe with conkers. I think you need to throw them out. So I had to throw them out. So I did. And I threw some just in the end of the garden. And a year or two later, I started to see a conker tree growing. And in my own garden now, which is a very small one in the terraced house, I see this now. Not that I've planted any conkers, but I have squirrels. And they come along and I see that they plant them. And I get little conker trees starting to grow. Where my parents' garden, which was much, much bigger, that tree grew to one that's 40 feet tall. And it's a long time since I've been to that garden, because my parents are now in glory. It'll be even bigger. Verse 8. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than that which was sown. 100-fold. Do you see the contrast here? Spiritual disappointment there, 100-fold here, 100-fold. The work of the gospel, glory in that. And we see this in church life. I think of Pat. Pat, who was persevering, was the only Christian in her family. And it seemed that no one was listening. So little response. That was the first pastorate that we had. She persevered there. And when we went back a few years later, imagine her joy and our joy when Rachel and Leah, her two daughters, were there. They'd been saved. And there they were, bringing their children, Pat's grandchildren, to church. I don't know now whether they've been saved. But from Pat, Rachel and Leah, and now grandchildren, we see what is happening. It takes time. It takes time. A few years ago in our church, Mary was baptized. She was a prodigal. She got a note from a parent saying, "Went for our daughter for 41 years. Persevering in the fruit of the gospel. That's an encouragement to us." And then there are surprises. Other month, there was a very sad death in a church I used to serve. And someone was telling me who attended the service, they said, "Oh, Darrell, you were mentioned." I said, "I was mentioned like that." He said, "Oh, yes." Client's testimony that was shared in the funeral as part of the tribute said, "Oh, Darrell had taken me through Christianity Explored. I have no memory of this. It was the fruitfulness that God had, the surprises that each one of us might have at some point. You witnessed to a friend, you witnessed to a neighbor. You might not have seen that fruit that has come, but years later, the Lord works. Sometimes it is very, very quick. Other times it's like now, or 41 years. Praise God for the fruit. In radio, as I'm applying it to that, as to ourselves, we're doing this work. It is broadcast across the land. God is at work. We might not see all that is happening. We certainly won't. But the responses, as Andrew called it, are the tip of an iceberg. God is at work. And this parable tells us so. We must believe this. We must believe it, that there will be spiritual disappointments, but the spiritual fruitfulness will be greater. It will have surprises. It will have things that we didn't know, and we'll say, "Thank you, Lord," when we finally see that. So as we finish, what is our response? I think it needs to be threefold. Pray. Who does the fruit depend on? God. It is his field. It is his word. We are his messengers who spread the good news. So let's pray that the Lord will be at work. Let's pray for the work of mission. We're also told to persevere. I think we see that as a spiritual disappointment, and there is fruitfulness. We see that we're going to hit problems. So we need to persevere in this. And in fact, if we are those who are there in verse 15, noble and good heart to hear the word and retain it, by persevering produce a crop. So let's persevere. And let's remember the promise. Yeah, three P's at the end. Pray, persevere, promise. Remember the promise. The message of the parable of the sower, in a nutshell, in a seed, is there will be fruit. There will be fruit. It yielded a crop 100-fold more than that which was sown. Let's give thanks for that. Let's commit ourselves to the work of mission. Let's go out into this world this week. Let's go forth and tell the good news of Jesus. Amen.